Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I'm so excited about this episode with April Gargiulo. She's so passionate, and the product that she created, Vintner's Daughter, is truly something special. I'm a huge natural beauty fan, and I'm always mixing my own facial oils and serums, as you guys know. I tried to recreate Vintner's Daughter's cult active botanical serum. I was not able to do it. I failed miserably. And that's when I kind of knew, okay, she's really created something special with this product. There's a reason that people are shelling out $185 every 3 months to buy a new bottle. Her story is amazing. I think you're really going to love talking to her. And if you want to get more into natural beauty, I do post recipes on my Instagram page at Naked Beauty Planet. I also have a dedicated hashtag, Naked Beauty Recipe, so you guys can follow along and learn how to make some of your own DIY beauty stuff. But in the meantime, enjoy this episode with April. Thanks so much for your support. If you're not subscribed, please make sure you're subscribed. We have new episodes every Monday. I'm at Brooke Devard on all social platforms, and the Instagram community is at Naked Beauty Planet. All right, let's get into the episode. You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I'm here with April Gargiulo, a Vintner's Daughter fame. Thank you for being here.
I'm so excited to be here, Brooke. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm a huge fan of your product.
Thank you.
And I think, was it Amy who connected us initially?
Perhaps.
I don't know. But I did know what I loved was you were immediately like, let's jump on a phone call.
Oh, always.
And that's like your thing. Now that
is that my thing? It might be my thing. Yeah.
I mean, I've been kind of hearing from like other editors and people that have had experiences with you, and they're like, oh yeah, like April like loves a phone call.
I do like a phone call. Well, I like a phone call because our product is so different.
Mm-hmm.
And so to receive a box of Vintner's Daughter and not to have some context and not to understand what went into making that is a disservice to me. It's like not honoring all of the sourcing we go through, all the farmers we work with, the incredible literally weeks and weeks of formulation that we go through. So
it's personal for you.
It's really personal for
me. Yeah, it shows. But it's also, I'm sure you can also acknowledge, it's going above and beyond. Most founders aren't calling everyone who gets a box of their product.
I don't know, right?
Yes.
I don't know. And we don't send out very much. So it's not as
right.
if I'm talking to hundreds of people every week.
Right. You don't have like a huge PR list that you're just sending to thousands of influencers every week.
No. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I remember one of the things that really stood out to me when we talked was you didn't consider Vintner's Daughter a for-profit company.
Let me add some more, flavor to that. Vintner's Daughter is not a revenue-driven company.
Mm.
I think most skincare, most companies are revenue-driven, right?
They
have all sorts of investors. They have quarterly earnings. They have all of these things that push them and propel them on this kind of velocity that they have to constantly be growing, and bigger, and bigger margins. And for us, we are skin-driven.
Mm.
We are quality-driven. And that sometimes can be at odds with revenue. And so at any point, like if there is ever a question in any kind of decision that we have to make, quality and skin always wins out over revenue.
Right.
And so when I say we are not revenue driven, that doesn't mean that we are not for profit. Like we have to be profitable, right?
Yes.
Like I want to pay my employees really well. I want to have great benefits.
Yes.
I want to be able to continually invest in the great at working with the very greatest producers and sourcing. I want to continue to give, you know, our charity dollars. So we have to be profitable,
right?
But we're not beholden to revenue.
Yes, you're not just trying to make as much money as possible.
Oh gosh, no!
Because you guys would have had 200 products by now.
Oh, 200 products. We would be in every store in the world. I certainly would not be making product the way we make it.
Right.
At all.
Yes, but the process to make a single bottle of the serum. And I don't have it in here, but I have that ingredient book.
Our ingredient book.
Which
it's
is
extraordinary.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful even. And I love all of the education that goes into it. But what goes into making a single bottle?
Right. So it is extraordinary. There's really nothing else like it. But remember, I don't come from the world of beauty. So I'm coming from the world of fine winemaking.
Yes.
And so it's all kind of context, right? I didn't have any experience in the world of beauty. So I came to it somewhat naive, right? So we spent, for every bottle of active botanical serum, it takes 21 days to formulate. And so that does not include the months of sourcing that we go through to find the 22 different ingredients. It doesn't include the weeks of testing that we go through to make sure all of those ingredients are up to our standards.
Yeah.
What that 21 days is us beginning with whole plants. We begin with some of the most nutrient-dense plants in the world. We take them through an infusion process that is temperature-controlled, that is very gentle, that's very time-honored, and it's 21 days. And that's the time it takes for us to be able to extract the full spectrum of nutrition from those incredible plants so that we can deliver that full spectrum, 60-plus nutrients in every drop to your skin. So that serum essence takes 35 days to make.
Oh, wow.
Because on top of the infusion that we do for essence to extract all the water-soluble nutrients, we add a fermentation component. Mm. So there's an additional 14 days for the fermentation component. But again, I was coming from winemaking where it takes 3 years to make a bottle of wine, right? So I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to make this. It's going to be the best, most extraordinary skincare, highest quality skincare in the world. And it's only going to take 3 weeks.
Right.
I got turned away from every lab. No one wanted to make active botanical serum. I got turned away from—
Really?
Oh my gosh. I got turned away from everyone.
It was just too difficult of a project.
Too difficult. They would tell me, no, that's not the way it's done.
Right, right.
Use this extract. Right. Use this powder. It's faster. It's cheaper. It's better.
Right. Add all this filler and all this other crap.
Right.
But I do think it's amazing how naivete kind of puts you at a weird advantage. You don't know it at the time,
right.
But when you aren't immersed in a world, you just kind of approach it with a freshness that—
Absolutely. Well, you don't have the constraints, right?
Right. And you don't even know at the time that it's crazy of you to think this way because—
Absolutely.
You're not aware of how everyone else is thinking.
Exactly.
Well, I think I told you this, but I tried to make the Vintner's Daughter.
Oh, that's right. I love this story.
Because I have like an apothecary at home. Like I've got tamarind oil.
I know.
Oil,
oh, I know.
Oil.
I know.
Like,
I know.
I literally have all of the oils and I like make all these different potions and lotions.
I want one of your masks.
Oh, and the masks are great because you just make them for like 2 days. You put them in the fridge. But I was like, I'm going to make this. Like I can buy these things. It just didn't even come close.
Mm.
Like it didn't even come close.
Right.
And I wasn't even able to find all of the ingredients, but I got pretty close. Like the Rose Absolute, I think, and the Jasmine Absolute are super expensive to buy.
They're
pure.
Extraordinarily expensive. And, you know, you can find these ingredients, but to find the quality level is very different, right?
Right.
I always use a tomato as an example. There's a tomato that you go buy at the farmer's market in the height of season that's been
gorgeous.
You know, grown by this very, you know, conscious farmer in the most conscious ways. And then there's a tomato that's in a Subway sandwich, right? Very, very different.
Totally.
But they're both called tomatoes,
right?
But they have very different nutritional effects or nutritional attributes, as well as just effects on our, you know, ecosystem and environment.
I mean, this idea of nutrition for your skin, it makes total sense. And yet people are like wary of it. Like, I feel like there's been the whole clean eating movement. People understand your skin is your largest organ.
Mm.
And if you compare food to skincare products, like some skincare products are McDonald's, like period.
100%.
And some skincare, like your, you know, Vintner's Daughter is
and
like
some are Chili's.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Some are
like a vegan 5-course super nutrition packed meal.
Right. Exactly. And so the comparison that I like to use is there are like take a meal replacement bar, meal replacement bar that's been perfectly cooked up in a lab.
Yeah.
All of the right nutrients and the right ratios, but it's all synthetic, right?
Right.
And then compare that to a beautifully prepared plate of food that has all of, you know, local organically grown ingredients from the height of season.
Yeah.
We know that that plate of food is going to service your skin or, excuse me, your body.
Your body.
Better,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going to make your body stronger, more resilient, more healthy. That is what proper nutrition also does for your skin.
I know. People are resistant to it, though, which I find so
strange.
That's
interesting, really?
Yeah. I mean, people are like, it's great that you do all this stuff, Brooke, but like I'm never going to be in the kitchen mixing my own stuff, which is fine. But then I think people also don't trust the efficacy of clean beauty. Mm. Like I think they think it's like less than.
And I used to be one of those people, by the way, because I struggled with my skin all my life.
And you have cystic gorgeous acne, skin.
I mean, really, truly cystic acne, discoloration. I was using the, you know, what were the, and I'm using air quotes, all the luxury, very best products in the world, right? And I mean, this is the genesis of Vintner's Daughter. And I started looking at this $300 cream that I was using, looking at the ingredients, and I just was shocked to realize that it was 0.01% active ingredient. The rest was filler, really low. I mean, we all know this, right? Really low quality filler. And a lot of it was toxic. And so, you know, everything I was eating was very clean. I mean, what I was cleaning my house with was cleaner than what I was putting on my face, right?
Right.
But I had my head in the sand. I think like a lot of people, especially when you struggle with your skin and you have this relationship with your skin that you're constantly like at battle, I think that it's a really big cliff to jump off of.
Of course.
When you feel like you feel like you might have to compromise. And so for me and for Vintner's Daughter, that was how I thought about developing Vintner's Daughter was how do we, number one, be uncompromisingly performance driven? And our products had to be multi-correctional. I wasn't going to sell anybody 7 or 8 different products to get results. Like I wanted as much as I possibly could in as few steps as possible. So today, I mean, we have 2 products. And in these 2 products, Active Treatment Essence and Active Botanical Serum, your skin is receiving complete hydration, complete moisture, and complete nutrition.
Yeah.
Not to mention all of these next gen plant actives.
Yes. Yes. And all of those plant actives. And you also have some essential oils in this. And so I love essential oils on my skin. Like I love frankincense essential oil.
It's
like
a good one.
Gorgeous. There's this weird, without naming any names, there's this like weird anti-essential oil in skincare. And I get it because people's skin reacts differently and you have to test. And some people are using things that shouldn't go directly on your skin without a carrier oil. But have you observed this anti-essential oil movement?
And I think, of course I have. And I think part of it, I think what it does is it brings up something that is important. Essential oils are the essence of the most powerful plants in the world. And you have to treat them with respect, right? They can't be everywhere.
Yeah.
You can't have low grade, low quality essences in your dryer sheets, in your shampoo, in your face wash, in your bed, you know, in literally everything. Like the load that starts to carry is too much. It's like, you know, take retinol. Retinol is one of the most proven things we have for collagen production and all these other things, right? Would you put retinol in your dryer sheets? Would you put retinol in your shampoo? Would you put do you know what I mean? I mean, it's a funny example, but it kind of brings sheds light on just like, these are really, essential oils are extremely powerful and need to be treated as such.
Absolutely. Retinol is interesting that you bring up because I was like so in this like clean, chemical free, I was like, oh, I don't know, retinol's too much. I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And then my dermatologist was like, just try it if you don't like it. And it was a game changer for me.
Yeah.
So there's also this thing where it's like sometimes like chemical products are demonized. Mm-hmm. And natural products are seen as always better. Some natural products aren't good for your skin and some chemical products can be good for your skin. It's just like case by case.
And exactly. And I, you know, while all of our products, everything is 100% natural, I think there will become more of a case for, you know, safe synthetics.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And a lot of times those synthetics are more sustainable, right? I think about what it takes to make a bottle of Active Botanical Serum. Yeah. It's extraordinarily resource intensive. I mean, there will be a day when we sort of have to allocate bottles where we just cannot make any more.
Right.
So, you know, in the world of safe synthetics, it becomes more sustainable.
Sustainable. Yes. I want to hear about growing up in Napa Valley.
I know, right?
Like, did your family have an actual vineyard?
They still do today, yes.
So like you were just like running through the grape leaves like, as a child?
Yes, music was playing. It was, you know, the sun was shining. Yeah, so I, you know, my family still makes wine in Napa Valley today. And I totally understand that it has this very romantic, romanticized vision. I love my family dearly, and so I love it dearly. And I would not be sitting here today had I not had the honor and privilege of growing up in Napa Valley. It is a valley that 60 years ago was not known for the finest wines in the world. I mean, they made sacrament wines, right? Mm. Quality was not any part of the wine they were making. So Napa Valley was really created, like the, what you think of as Napa Valley was really created by this generation of women and men that had an incredibly audacious goal, and they achieved it. And that was to make the very finest wines in the world. And so, you know, I consider myself really blessed to have grown up in the valley amongst that kind of atmosphere of just this real audacious spirit.
And you're Italian?
I am Italian, yes.
Okay.
Gargiulo, yes.
And you're, how long ago? Like,
oh, that's a good question. My grandfather was born in Italy.
Oh, okay. So like pretty, do you go to Italy?
I mean, I don't have any more connection to anyone with a heart, right?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like anyone with a stomach, I guess, or a heart.
My husband and I got married in Tuscany.
Oh my gosh. So beautiful.
Yeah.
So beautiful. You know, my grandfather came in from a generation where you didn't sort of honor your heritage in a way, you know, you really wanted to become American, be part of America and that kind of thing.
Don't look back.
Don't look back.
Yeah.
Right. So it wasn't like anyone was ever like talking about the old country in my house. But I mean, again, I who doesn't love Italy, right?
Napa Valley, I just think of as such a like vacation destination.
You need to come visit.
I know. I've been.
Oh.
I went for like a very fancy meal once and it was great. But like, are there high schools? What was it like growing up for you?
Oh, I understand. Okay. So I actually didn't go to high school there.
Okay.
But there are high schools there. Okay. There are tons of children who grow up there. It is, interestingly, most kids stay in Napa. I mean, I think it's a really hard place to leave.
Okay.
And no, it's a beautiful community of grape growers, of course, and winemakers, but artists, of course, chefs and incredible farmers and just craftspeople in general. It is a community that honors craftsmanship and artisanship in such a real and generous way.
Yes. Pretty much the opposite of New York City, where I grew up.
Well, no, I mean, I think there's a lot of that in New York as well.
Yes, but you have to kind of find it.
Yes, absolutely.
So, where did you go to high school?
I went to boarding school.
Oh, you got sent away. So that means that a lot of for being bad, but you probably had to teach yourself a lot, like in terms of right, because you're kind of like in the dorms figuring it out. People are like, oh, try this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think. I don't know that I would have enjoyed high school anywhere, to be honest. Like the conformity of high school just wasn't my jam. So I went to a boarding school in Connecticut. It's called Hodgkiss.
Of course.
No, you probably know it.
Yeah.
And because Spence is high school, right?
Yes.
Right. And I feel like
kindergarten, it's K-12.
It is. Because I feel like we had kids who would come from
Definitely.
Spence every year.
Yes.
Which is the only reason I had no idea about any of these places.
Was it weird going to like East Coast where everyone's in
it
like cashmere,
so
Ralph Lauren, and
it was
tweed?
So strange.
Like, what
it
is
was
this?
So strange. I have to tell you, it was so strange. And everyone had these pecking orders of like where their town was compared to Manhattan, like where their suburb was. I mean, and what country and all of these things that I just had no sense of what they were.
Right.
So that was an awakening.
What was your relationship with beauty like in high school?
Oh, man. I mean, I still call up my friends from high school and ask them why I didn't pluck my eyebrows back then. I mean, truly, I still call
But you
call
have nice, beautiful, thick eyebrows. Some
I do,
people overpluck them and then they
and
regret
I,
it.
And I absolutely went through that phase, too. But there needed to be some shaping done in high school, for sure.
So you were pretty low maintenance.
Oh, extraordinarily low maintenance.
Did you have like kind of beauty icons that you looked up to? Like, oh, if I could just look like this.
No, it wasn't part of...
Okay.
No.
You were just like focused on school.
I was focused on school. I was focused on friends. It was, you know, there was social media didn't exist. Internet didn't exist.
Right.
So I wasn't constantly bombarded. I was in the middle of nowhere, Connecticut. We weren't seeing fashion magazines.
Right.
I didn't have, I wasn't surrounded by it.
Yeah. So did you even wear makeup to like go to
class? Oh gosh, no. I don't even think I had mascara.
But I mean, kids now, like, do you watch Euphoria? I just finished it.
No.
You have to watch Euphoria.
Okay.
It may make you like.
What channel is it on?
It's HBO. It's starring Zendaya.
Done.
It's incredible. It's one of like my favorite new shows. You had cystic acne. Was that like throughout high school and college?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did Accutane. I did retinols. I did every laser you can imagine.
Do you feel like I was
doing everything.
Do you think it like took a toll on your self-esteem?
That's a great question. I don't, I think it was always a struggle, but I don't think I ever really even covered stuff up. Like, I wouldn't put cover up on.
Yeah. Which is good. I mean, you have to let your skin breathe.
It's funny to think I'm in skincare, but I never really had a big identity around skin other than it was the thing I spent money on.
Yeah.
I was never the girl who had the fancy handbag. I was always the girl who had the fancy face cream.
Yeah.
And now, of course, I think back on it now and I think, oh my gosh, I was spending so much money on this junk. But, you know.
Well, I mean, the thing is, people think that because a skincare product is expensive, that it's good.
No. And that is a fallacy. I mean, luxury is not a price tag, right?
Exactly.
Luxury is about what something is made from, mm-hmm. how something is made, the intention behind something,
yes.
right?
Yes.
That is what true luxury is.
Yes.
And in the case of skincare, efficacy as well,
mm-hmm.
it is sometimes a price tag does come with that, but it is luxury. It's not simply a price tag or a celebrity endorsement or a logo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you would think that this era of like low quality ingredient, expensive skincare is over, but it's, Tom Ford just came out with a $450 cream. And I'm looking at the ingredient list like, what? But yeah, I'm just bringing it up to say that like, it's still happening. Like we think like, oh, it's evolved so much. People understand. No, people are still paying $500 for a brand name with like low quality skincare. It's just crazy to me.
Right. And it's fancy marketing. It's just driven by fancy marketing. They kind of coined some kind of technology phrase have you. I don't know.
Patented.
Right. Exactly.
Diamond complex.
Whatever.
With radiant.
Caviar or truffles or what. I don't
24
know.
24 karat gold.
Exactly.
Something. I know.
Something like that. And we all fall for it because we all want to believe. Right.
Sure.
So I've been down that road 100 different times. Right. I think the wellness world is kind of like that now too. It's this like idea of like competitive wellness and what are you drinking and what are you taking? It's a hamster wheel in a lot of ways.
I know. Someone asked me a really good question that I wasn't even sure how to answer. She was saying, when does eating clean and like an obsession with making sure you're eating clean become an eating disorder?
When it takes away from any level of enjoyment is my feeling. Like when it takes away from the enjoyment, when it takes you away from the moment, when you're sitting there and you're counting carbs or calories or whatever people count these days, then that's when you need to pull back.
And kind of assess what your relationship is. That's a great point. Your skincare also smells so good, which makes the ritual of...
Well, what do you think about the essence scent?
Okay, so I use apple cider vinegar like on my skin. So I'm not weirded out by strong scents.
Okay.
I could imagine if someone has like a hard time with scents, maybe they'd be like, oh, it's not.
It's interesting because we have so many people who initially are kind of like, you know, well, because they know what active botanical serum smells like, right? And nothing was added for scent.
Right. It's just like it's all of those beautiful.
It's just every single ingredient was added because of the performance and it happens to smell like that.
Yes.
You know, coming from the world of wine, you can't have scent.
Yes.
And so I never grew up with scent. That was never a part of anything. No perfume, no scent in your shampoo, no scent in your lotion, nothing, right? So that was never a driving factor behind the development of active botanical serum. So the fact that scent is such a thing is sort of a surprise to me.
I know, but it does smell lovely.
It absolutely smells incredible. And then you have active treatment essence that has this kind of kombucha tangy scent because of the fermentation. And again, the scent is entirely driven by the performance of the ingredients.
Yes.
But it doesn't have this, you know, you're walking through this sort of this kind of forest of,
like
of
a lush
floral
garden.
Deliciousness, right?
Yeah.
But we've been getting texts and, you know, testimonials and emails and what have you from folks who initially kind of thought, oh, gosh, what is this? And then now just smell it and think, this works. Like,
And after it's
a week or two. And of course, you know, you see the results. And so you're already in. And, and if it smelled, and I don't know if it smelled like dirt, you would still be in probably, but it's a scent that, becomes an acquired.
Yeah.
Thing.
You just kind of get used to it quickly.
Right. And then it smells sort of sophisticated and it smells not like a perfume sophisticated, but you can kind of see into, and this was the point. It's why we don't cover up our scents.
Right.
You can see into the formulation. Right.
Oh, interesting.
It's a point for us. Like we really want to be transparent with how this product was made.
Right. And not covered up.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. It also dissolves, right? Like it's not like the scent.
Oh my gosh. No, it goes away in a minute.
It's like a very kind of quick thing.
Right.
But then I feel like the serum scent like kind of lingers.
It does a bit, right? It does a bit.
It's like a nice combo.
Well, because scent is attached to oil molecules, and so it's going to stick better with the serum than it is with the essence, with it, which is aqueous.
Yes. The self-education aspect of your company, I think, is so powerful, right? Like the fact that these products come with a booklet so that you can learn. And on mm-hmm. your site, you talk about what these plants are and mm-hmm. why they're important. Because I think people do want quick fixes and people want their skin to be better. But I also feel like a resistance towards education. Like people are like, I don't know, like don't want to do the take the time. And they're just like, just give me something that works.
Well, it's confusing. I mean, yeah. I, me as a consumer am confused mm-hmm. to go into a skincare shop, a retail environment or online or wherever, and to be faced with 100 different choices. Yeah. And seemingly they all are doing the same thing.
Yes.
And so you end up just kind of picking something on price point.
Right.
I mean, right. And the yeah. reality is that they're all the same, mm-hmm. whether they cost $300 or they cost $25.
Right.
And so anyone purchasing Vintner's Daughter Active Botanical Serum or Active Treatment Essence, I really want them to understand how much, like what goes into that
yes.
bottle.
Yes.
All this, the months of sourcing, the weeks of testing, the like 21 and 35 day mm-hmm. formulation time period, all of that is really important. I want people to understand how special what is actually in the bottle is.
Yes. Yes. And I think for people that don't have Vintner's Daughter money yet, mm-hmm. and they want to have like a cleaner approach to skincare, are you for buying like individual oils and trying them on your skin?
Oh, that's a good question. I've never thought about it. I was going to say we're working on payment installments.
Oh, interesting.
And then we have a couple, we're working on that.
Interesting.
And then we have a couple retailers that already offer that.
Oh,
and so you could do monthly payments of Vintner's Daughter. So that's a way into it too. We also have a smaller size that is less expensive.
Yeah, I think it's sold out though.
Oh, it's already sold out.
But maybe we'll see. I mean, that just speaks to the power of your product, right? Like the fact that these things sell out so immediately and people are so obsessed. And also, I mean, from what I've seen, most people don't mind spending the money on it because it's so good.
Well, because it actually works.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And it replaces all the other junk that you buy.
Right. I mean, Brooke, we all have the drawer filled yeah. with, or the cabinet filled yeah. with all the things, the hope in a bottle that we've all yeah. purchased, right? So if you add up the cost of all of those, yeah. it doesn't come close to to our two products, essence right. and serum together. And, you know, we really look at this as lasting relationships with our customers. We want these to be products that you marry for life, right? You always know that they are going to service your skin.
Yes.
And make your skin its very best.
And I also love that it's for men and women, right?
Oh, it's
gendered
for all
skincare
people.
Really annoys me.
Well, gendered skincare, but also like skin tone skincare.
Right.
To a certain degree. I mean, it's all about putting us in these like smaller and smaller pieces so that we can all get marketed to differently. It's
right.
all marketing
right.
driven. It is
right.
not skin driven.
Right.
And so by us focusing on nutrition, like your and my skin both thrives off the same
yeah.
nutrition. My husband and I's skin both thrives off the same nutrition. Somebody who's dealing with rosacea, somebody who's dealing with acne, someone who's much younger than me, someone mm-hmm. who's much older than me, all of our skin thrives off nutrition.
Yes. And I love that anti-aging isn't part of like the marketing.
Fear
approach.
Is not part of it.
Yes.
No, fear is not. No. Education, celebration.
Yeah.
Like these are the things that we want to talk about, right? Nothing makes me happier than when we get a testimonial that says, and this happens often, that says, I haven't walked out of my house without makeup on in 10 years.
Wow.
Thank you, Vintner's Daughter.
Wow.
To
yeah,
give
so
to
powerful.
Give a woman or yeah. anyone that level of confidence that then she feels like she can walk out into the world in her own skin.
Yes.
That's incredible and such an honor.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Isn't it? It's incredible. I remember the night it was the Oscars and Lady Gaga was wearing Vintner's Daughter. And that same, which was a moment.
I mean, but you've had like one of, I mean, you've
oh,
had
Oh, we've
everyone.
Had, we've been very, yeah. we've been, it, it's extraordinary. That same night, I got an email from a woman who was emailing on behalf of her Mahjong club.
Okay.
And there was all these women in their 70s. And she said, we've all started using Vintner's Daughter. We all have the best skin of our lives.
Wow. Incredible.
It really was incredible.
Incredible. Do you have sisters?
I do. Well, one sister.
One sister.
I have a sister and a brother.
Okay. So I'm just trying to figure out how you developed this very special relationship and understanding about beauty as celebration. Because it seems like, at least at boarding school, you didn't really care.
Mm-mm.
At college, did you start caring?
Not really.
No?
I mean, I probably put mascara on at this
okay.
point. Well, but I was always, my mom was always very focused on skincare.
Okay.
So I always thought about my skin. Like, I was never the girl who went to bed without washing her face.
Yeah.
I was always the one when everybody else was, again, buying handbags, I was buying expensive cream, or I was always the one who would go get a facial, or,
but
I was also the one who was dealing with skin issues too.
Right. Okay.
So skincare has always been something that I've been very interested in.
Got it.
But not beauty from a makeup standpoint.
Got it. Okay. This is a good segue into beauty mistakes you've made.
Oh, well, we've already talked about one with my eyebrows.
But it's so funny because so many people come on this show and say that their biggest beauty mistake was overplucking their eyebrows.
Mine was the opposite.
But wouldn't you rather have, because once you overpluck, sometimes they don't grow back.
I guess you're right. But honestly, I should show you these pictures and you'll
was it
see.
Was it a unibrow situation?
No, it wasn't a unibrow. It was just very bushy eyebrows.
So the eyebrows, anything else that looking back, you're just like, what was I doing?
Again, because I wasn't makeup wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of mistakes in that.
Okay.
In that realm.
Any bad haircuts?
Oh, I mean, I had perm when I was in middle school.
Okay.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Did you go to a salon to get it done?
I mean, I don't think I did it myself, but I don't actually remember. I just remember, and I only remember because I have this picture. There's a picture, you know, my school picture. And I look at it like, what did I do to myself? Oh, my God. So that was bad. I mean, I've gotten like streaks in my hair, or, you know, like highlightings that just was not a good idea.
Okay.
Or I've gotten haircuts that like just I went in to just get my hair cut one day. And before I know it, the guy's giving me the Jennifer Aniston from Friends haircut. And I am having a heart attack. Yeah. And by the way, this was like 3 years ago. This wasn't even like. Any time
when
it was actually
popular.
And I walked out with like half my head at Rachel and half April, like half just
because you were like,
horrified. I just couldn't even believe what was happening. So that wasn't really my fault, but you know, whatever.
I know, but hairstylists sometimes like take license that they 100%. Just shouldn't take. Like, let's have a conversation.
100%.
Before any.
He absolutely felt like I was in the wrong.
Oh my God.
He 100% felt like I was
in the
wrong.
And I was kind of like, attitude about it. That's
well,
the worst.
Okay. Anyway, we're just going to, I'm cutting my losses. I'm walking out. It's all good.
But I feel like you have a very kind of classic look, but you also have like very cool style. Like
Thank you.
I feel like you must have some like references of like people.
Oh,
you're like rock
people.
And roll. Like,
oh, who do I love? I love
proper,
okay. I love Tracee Ellis Ross. Like,
okay,
I would
yes.
do any. Tracee Ellis Ross is like,
yes,
she is my person.
Okay, is she a Vintner's daughter?
She is also Tracee Ellis Ross was also the very first celebrity to talk about Vintner's daughter. So I forever love her.
Amazing,
and she's got. Her style is ridiculous.
I think it's so cool. Yeah.
And then Carla Welch, her stylist,
yes.
is incredible.
Okay.
So I love her and I pretty much love everybody she styles. I don't know. I like all, you know, I kind of am eclectic.
Yeah. I love your jewelry game.
I was going to say Mr. T is a big inspiration for me.
All the rings and the necklaces. I love it though. It's cool. Because then also it's like you have a little sparkle on you every day. So even if you're in like a t-shirt and jeans,
right.
you've got like your,
yeah.
your bling.
And then if you lose an earring, which I pretty much always do,
yeah.
you can sort of just go with one or you know, all yeah. sorts of mix match. And I always have my charms. I always have my charm bracelets and my charm necklaces
it's
and all
so
that kind
pretty.
Of stuff.
It's so cool and personal.
Yeah,
I love the safety pin in the ear.
Oh, it's
a piece
made
of
out of gold. But yeah, I got it. There's a shop in San Francisco called Metier that I love.
Okay.
That's all. Yes. Write that down. It's small. It's, you know, the size of this
yes.
table and they have the most beautiful jewelry in there.
Okay.
They have all the Marla Aaron stuff like this.
Love.
Yeah. You would love. And the women who own it are incredible.
Amazing. Okay. What are your favorite beauty products, treatments?
Okay.
Things
so,
to do?
This is a great question for me because while my products are extremely simple, I cleanse, I apply active treatment essence, I apply active botanical serum, and that's it.
Okay, you don't do moisturizer over the serum? Mm-hmm.
Nope.
No.
I do SPF during the day
yes.
or like tinted moisturizer
yeah.
or something like that. But I love devices, love devices.
Ooh, okay, what are your devices?
So my favorite devices, I love New Face.
Okay,
so I
people love this.
Yeah.
Can you explain it?
It is, it's like electrical stimulation of your muscles, right?
Okay.
So it's like work, it's like a workout.
Yeah.
Right? Like in New York, you have this place called the Face Gym. I've never been.
Yeah.
But I really want to go.
Really?
I really want to go.
Like people are like paying to get their faces beat up. Like, I don't know. Like,
oh, beat up? Really? I was just thinking they had the
they have different
micro...
types of intense rollers and then they like do lots of, it's intense looking.
I love all that.
Okay.
I do. I love it. I love red light.
Okay.
I love, my favorite kind of body treatment is endermology.
I don't even know what that
is. Oh my gosh. Endermology. Endermology was developed in the 70s to help with lymphatic drainage.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. And, I've done a lymphatic massage and I was very underwhelmed. It was a very light, I was like,
this is why endermology was developed.
Okay.
So that it didn't really matter who the practitioner was. Because it's the machine that's doing the work, right? So every time you go, I mean, it does actually matter a little bit what the practitioner is doing, but the idea was that it was the machine that's really going to be doing the work.
Okay.
And it's my favorite. And so anyway, it was developed in the 70s for lymphatic drainage, but it wasn't catching on. So then the producer of it, the maker of it thought, oh, let me start advertising it for cellulite. And so it became known as the cellulite thing, which it doesn't work on that, by the way. Maybe it does, but
I think
that's not really the reason
proven,
to go go for
that cellulite. Like, it's not something that you can fix.
No, no. My kids have cellulite, and they're
just like live with
they're
it,
born.
Love it. Yeah.
Exactly, right? So anyway, it is incredible. I recommend it. I look forward.
So wait, what
to
is
it?
You go, you lie on a table.
You lie on a table. You put on this crazy body stocking, which is a little strange. And then there is this machine that simultaneously it has two rollers, and it simultaneously like suctions and rolls over your entire body.
Okay.
And afterwards you feel like you have just done a 10-day cleanse or something.
Okay.
I'm not a cleanse
that
person.
That sounds amazing.
But,
especially because I fly all the time. I feel
you would
like
love
I need
it.
To do this.
You would love it.
But okay, can I ask you, April, because I try to find spas in San Francisco.
It's very hard.
Hotels and spas are I'm like, San Francisco, come on. Like,
no, it's very hard.
I can't even, went to the Knob Hill
Spa.
Which is like very old school, but I felt like I was like 1997.
Oh yeah. No, it's hard. It's hard in San Francisco. Yeah. Wellness has not necessarily caught on in those kinds of modalities in San Francisco. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. It's hard to buy like healthy food too in San Francisco.
Which is so weird because there's so much money and intelligence here.
But there's also a lot of balance in San Francisco, right? Mm. So San Francisco is never going to be about like the fad gimmicky thing, right? Like there's never going to be a run on celery juice in San Francisco. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So it just takes a while for the things that are actually not fads, that are real, to kind of bubble up and come to San Francisco.
Yes. Right. So it's all over LA because everyone's like,
all over LA.
But then it's like, for it to really come to SF, it has to be meaningful and like have legs.
Exactly.
You mentioned you do cleanser before. What cleanser do you use?
Right now I'm using a cleanser called, I don't like oil cleansers or balm cleansers. They're just not, I don't wear a lot of makeup, so
you
it doesn't really
to, like,
make sense.
Cleanse.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I think that's an important distinction, right? If you do use an oil or a balm, you have to double cleanse or else you're going
to
have,
you have to,
right? And I think a lot of people don't recognize that.
Yeah.
And so I like the second part of a double cleanse. I just like a nice, gentle, creamy cleanser.
Okay.
Right now I'm using something from a brand called Alpyn, A-L-P-Y-N. It's an oxygenating kind of creamy cleanser. I really like it. I bought it through Goop. But I've tried everything.
Okay. And do you use like I know this active botanical serum has things that have vitamin C in it, but like, do you believe in like standalone vitamin C?
Yeah, great question. So in active treatment essence, actually. So vitamin C is a water soluble vitamin. So it's active botanical serum.
I'm
it's all good.
The two.
It's all good. So vitamin C, it's a water soluble nutrient. So it is in active treatment essence in clinical proportions.
Okay.
And so I do think vitamin C is a great, a great skincare additive and drives a lot of brightening and collagen production.
Yes. Okay. Retinols, do you
retinol?
Still?
So retinol is one of the gold standards of they're, you know, I'm gonna use this word that I gotta find another word. Collagen production, we'll say that, and being youthful. And so it's really fueled by vitamin A, right? And so it is basically when your body, when it gets vitamin A, produces retinol, right? Which helps stimulate collagen. Adding retinol, retinoic acids on your skin kind of side steps your body's need to produce it.
Mm.
Right? Which is not a bad thing.
Yep.
It's just that's what it does. With active botanical serum, we are giving your skin incredible levels of vitamin A so that your body does the work.
Ah, I see. So you don't necessarily need to like have a retinol in your routine if you're...
You don't necessarily, but they support one another in a really incredible way too. Because then with retinols, a lot of times you get the redness or the flakiness and also like thin skin. And so with active botanical serum, it mitigates those things, right? It builds the skin up, makes the skin more strong, more resilient. It also mitigates the redness and the flakiness.
One of the things that I learned on my quest to recreate your product, which I failed at, but it was great because it introduced me to sea buckthorn oil.
Such a great one.
I am obsessed with sea buckthorn oil.
It's not like a flashy oil that people talk about.
It is fabulous.
It's incredible. It's so multidimensional. It's so multi-correctional.
Yeah.
It is every ingredient that we choose has to be just dense, right?
Yes.
Super nutrient dense. And it is absolutely one of the very first. It was actually one of the very first ingredients that we chose. Yes.
It's like that bright, bright orange.
Mm-hmm.
It's super expensive.
Super expensive.
I use it very sparingly. It lives in my refrigerator. But the other thing I also learned from like researching the way you guys do all of your bottles and stuff, like you have to be careful about what container it's in. Like you can't put it in a glass container because the light is going to...
I'm always so surprised when I see oils in glass containers.
I know, but
people do it. Well, they do it for marketing, right? So there's
so
an example of revenue driving, right? Because they want to be able to see this beautiful color oil.
Right.
Me coming from the wine industry, and we also make olive oil. Like I absolutely know that degrades when the light hits it, whatever's inside, it degrades the potency, the power of whatever's inside of it. And so for me, It never occurred to me. And the color of active botanical serum is beautiful.
Yeah, it's
golden,
gorgeous,
rich,
yeah.
warm. I would love to
for people to see it,
right? But I'm not willing to make that compromise.
Yeah. And I was making stuff and I wasn't always putting it in like a dark bottle. And I was like, okay.
You can wrap it in tinfoil.
Oh.
I'm thinking of like ways to kind of, you know, get around it. But I'm always so surprised when I see oils, expensive oils.
I know.
That are in clear bottles.
What fragrance do you wear?
I'm not a fragrance person.
Do you do essential oil?
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not a fragrance. Every once in a while, I have like a solid balm perfume from Infiore.
Okay.
They did a collaboration with Violette.
Nice.
And so I'll put that on, but I'm not a super big fragrance person.
Right.
I love the fragrance of our world for the most part.
Yeah.
So for me, like I love walking past an orange tree and smelling the blossoms.
Yeah.
I love walking past like a row of eucalyptus.
Yes.
I like that sensory experience is something that I really, really enjoy. I think I have a heightened sensitivity to scents, because if I ever have scent on, it's all I smell.
Well, and does it give you a headache sometimes?
No, luckily I don't get headaches. Do you get headaches?
Sometimes, yeah. But I make my own stuff. So like, I think today I have on like patchouli and Palo Santo oil, but it doesn't last, and it's because I'm not adding alcohol into it.
Exactly.
So people have been saying like you have to add alcohol if you want it to last.
For it to bind, exactly.
Yeah, but I kind of don't mind. It's just like I put it on in that moment and it's like a mood.
You're anointing yourself for whatever. It's like this
exactly.
kind of, it's like an amulet, right?
Exactly.
A scent kind of level of protection.
Exactly. So are you allowed to say like kind of what's next, what's coming up?
Oh my gosh. It took me 4 years to do active treatment essence. We are still, I can't keep it in stock. We're in the midst of our third sellout. So I feel like we just keep having launches of active treatment essence. So I've got to get that. I have to get the continuity of that production, like to the point where we can keep up with demand. But I mean, I definitely have one or two other products that I'd really love to see come to life. They're, you know, in true Vintner's Daughter fashion, nothing like them exists in the world. So I don't know that I'll be able to achieve them. It took, you know, with Essence, it took us 4 years. And a big part of that was that fermentation component, which is most skincare, when they use fermented, they add like a vinegar that's already been fermented. Like we're doing our own fermentation, which is a very different thing, a very different proposition in terms of being able to replicate it at mass, and not that our scale is so huge, but you know, more than one.
Yeah.
And so, I'm focused on that right now. And then eventually we'll have, I think But to be honest, I would have these conversations with myself when we just had serum too.
Right.
Am I okay with just having one game-changing product that changes people's life? And I got really comfortable with that. And
yeah.
So I don't know.
It's kind of one of those things where it's like when you go to a restaurant that has a million things on the menu and you're like, what are you really known for? It like takes, like, I feel like the power of your brand is almost like the confidence to be like, these are the two things that we have.
Well, and it's so interesting because coming out with just one product, and this was however long ago, 5 years ago that we launched, it was so unheard of, right? Mm. No one had ever had one product.
Yeah.
And so, but again, I had that kind of naivete
right.
coming into an industry that I didn't know much about. But I got turned away from so many retailers that we're their number one selling product now, but I got turned away from them
really?
For like, oh, because they didn't know what to do with a single SKU.
Mm.
They really had no idea. They thought it was just a project. They didn't understand it. They would say, well, we love this so much, but we don't really know how to market one product.
Just one thing.
And this was at the height of the 50-step Korean skincare.
Right, right.
And no one really, they just didn't really get it. And
yeah.
So, it's interesting to see how things have changed. And I think in a way we kind of pioneered a lot of that, which I'm really proud of.
That's great. I did want to talk a little bit about clean beauty.
Mm.
Is it a term that you dislike? Like, how do you feel about the term clean beauty?
I like the, I mean,
you like
when,
it.
When it's truly
when
clean.
It's, right.
I like the term clean beauty.
Okay. Do you think it's kind of confusing to people though?
Confusing in what way?
It's like a term that's been thrown around a lot. And so people say things are clean that aren't necessary or like, okay, natural beauty, meaning like the products are like found naturally in the world. I feel like that's clear.
Right.
But I feel like the term clean beauty is used as such an overall like blanket term
right.
that it becomes difficult for consumers to know
right.
what's going on.
I like the term, right? When it is used accurately,
yeah.
when it is honestly
yeah.
used. But when it's used from just to market something, then no, that's not fair. Maybe not fair isn't the right way to say it, but it's not honest.
Right.
And I think it confuses the customer.
What do you think it's going to take for people to take the time to read ingredients and like learn?
I think it's really hard. I truly think it's really hard. We have so much going on in our lives and we're so busy. What I always say to people is find a retailer who will do that work for you.
Mm.
Find a retailer that you trust and you know you can walk into that retailer
yes.
and go to that retailer's website and you know that anything you choose is
yes.
going to live up to their standards
yes.
and understand what their standards are and then, you know, trust, right?
Yes.
And I think that is the best way to do it because it is really hard to know what every single ingredient is,
yeah.
every single additive is. And the way that things are labeled in Europe is different than the way that they're labeled here. So that's always my suggestion. Find a retailer that you really love and trust and just then you can, you know.
That's great advice. And there's so many of them coming up now.
So many.
Like
so many. It's so fun. I remember when we first started, CAP was one of the very first.
Yeah.
And I love CAP. And now, you know, there's so many more, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
And just there's so much more natural offering inside more traditional skincare outlets.
Totally. You're at this shop. It's a very small shop in Sag Harbor, Onda Beauty.
Oh, I love. Yeah, they're fantastic. So Onda is on a world domination tour. I mean, they just opened up in Sydney. They opened
up.
And, yeah, they opened up in London. They've got their shop in Tribeca. And they just kind of dropped a hint that they're opening up somewhere else. I don't know where it's going to be. So it is. It's and here's the other thing about it. And I'm just thinking about the women behind Onda. It is women. It's like incredibly
yes.
passionate
yes.
women. And that's a really fun industry to be in.
Yes.
I've never been in anything like this before. And it's just so interesting to be inside this current that is all fueled by women. It's really fun.
And any advice for working moms, women that are balancing tons of things, people that are trying to start their own business and figuring it out all along the way?
Right.
Like you've been able to navigate, I'm sure, some lows and some highs.
Absolutely.
What advice would you have for people embarking on those journeys?
Well, I would say get really clear about what your North Star is, right? And what your new North Star is,
yeah.
not what you think the industry wants from you or anybody else wants from you. get really clear on what you want. If I had listened to what the industry had told me, I would have 20 different products right now. I'd be in every store in the world. I had this very clear vision and this very clear North Star, and I really protected it. And so, you know, establish your priorities and ladder everything back to those priorities. And you have to do it kind of brutally sometimes, right? It's not always easy. It's not always like rainbows and unicorns and cake and ice cream. Like you have to really be, really diligent and maintain and have just like this deep respect for that North Star and know that you're going to get there.
And not get pulled in a thousand different directions.
No, there's so many. Listen, I mean, there's a lot of shiny, bright objects out there, right? And they're going to constantly come at you. You have to keep moving forward to where your shiny, bright object is, that single North Star.
And are you one of these people that has an amazing business and also manages to get 8 hours of sleep and work out and...
No, okay. I am not.
Okay. I appreciate your honesty.
I am not. I wish I was. I think about this all the time. That's a priority for me. Wellness, like feeling good, being there for my kids and my family. It's a priority for me. It's really hard.
Yeah. Something's got to give.
Something's got to give.
But I also think it's important not to beat yourself up, because sometimes I get into the cycle where I'm like, oh my gosh, I should have worked. And it's like, but Brooke, you're doing so much and you got 7 hours of sleep and that's enough. And it's fine that you didn't go to the gym.
I that is where I'm at too.
Yes.
Because otherwise, like, it's just, you could just get in this, like, you know, get in this swirl of all the things, you know, that you should be doing and could be doing. Yeah. And that's not productive
at all. Final question. When do you feel most beautiful?
Oh, I even knew this question was coming and I don't have a good answer. No, I mean, I feel most beautiful with my husband, who's incredible, who has helped me, by the way, with this business like nobody else. I mean, he has been just such an incredible support. And then my children being, you know, just being with my family.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. My husband's been so supportive of me doing this podcast as well and like listens to every episode and like gives me feedback. And it really does make a difference, doesn't it?
Oh, it's night and day. I mean, I really can't imagine doing what I'm doing without having a really supportive partner.
Totally. Even when I do like career advice panels, I always tell people like the partner that you choose in life is as big a part of your career as anything that happens in the office. Cause like, that's the person who has to be like championing you and being your cheerleader at home.
Absolutely. And picking up where you can't do things. And creating this balance in your life to allow you to do some of the things that, you know, that you want to do, but that you can't be in 10 places at once.
Exactly. That's so beautiful. Well, thank you so much, April, for being on the show. It's really, really been like an honor and pleasure to speak with you.
I feel the exact same way. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, guys, I'll be back next week with a new episode.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.